There are some things I may not know. There are some places I cannot go. But I am sure of this one thing, that my God is real, for I can feel it deep within. Yes, my God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed me behold. His love for me is like your gold. Yes, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn. Oh, can go on and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part. My God is real, for I can feel him in my heart. Yes, my God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like your gold. Yes, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took all your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. Yes, my God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed, made me whole. Love for me, yeah, like your gold. Yes, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. One more time. Yes, my God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, in life your goal. Yes, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Yes, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul.
Welcome to Cowboy Church. It is fantastic to be with God's people tonight. The world is so confusing and so full of so much fear and anger and froth. It is wonderful to be here and to worship the Lord tonight. We're going to start off by reading a little bit of scripture. If you would open to Psalm 103, if you want to follow along, I'm going to read the first five verses. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's open in prayer. Father God, I thank you that you are such a good God. I thank you, God, for your promises. I thank you, God, for your word, Lord, for the scriptures, for the words written here by the psalmist. And I thank you, God, that you that you do provide for us, that you look after us, that you renew us, Lord. And we are here tonight for renewal. We're here tonight to seek the living waters from the only place they can be found, Lord. As Peter said, who else has the words of eternal life? And here we are tonight, Lord, to be renewed, to be refreshed, to, Lord, to come to hear from your word, Lord, to worship you. I pray, God, that everything that is done tonight would be to your good pleasure, Lord, that your work would be done, that your spirit would have full access to every one of our hearts tonight, that you would empower our Pastor Ken to preach your word in power. Lord, you have given him a word from your scripture to preach to us tonight, and I pray, God, that every heart would be open, Lord, and that your spirit would take those words and would refresh us and bless us. And Lord, prepare us to be your witnesses in a dark and hurting world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So what God has been stirring me in me this week as we continue on the series of Who is Jesus? And I think the times that we're living in, we need to know who is Jesus. We are inundated with so much stuff these days that it says in the end days, many will be deceived. In fact, many hearts will draw cold to the things in the end days, and it says even the elect will be deceived. The one spirit that will go out in the end days upon the earth will be a spirit of deception. So you need to know who you believe in. And I'm going to start tonight where I left off last week. And if you have your Bibles, it's taken from Matthew 25, verses 31 to 33. I'm preaching out of the New King James this week. Last week I used the New Living Translation. This week it's the New King James. I want to bring a different perspective. So I'm going to read Matthew 25, verses 31 to 33, and if you'd please stand for the reading of God's word and honoring his word, if you could do that now, if you can. And I'll read as follows, starting verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Lord, as we open our hearts tonight to your word, the word that you spoke to us and are speaking to us, God, I pray for good soil in this place. And that every one of us will leave this place, that they will know that they will know that it's well with their soul. So now, Lord, we commit this time into your hands. In your precious name I pray. And all of God's people said, and you may be seated. I just want to refresh our memories where we ended up last week. It was an interesting thought. I'm really going to stir you up now, I'll tell you. We'll divide this church all over the place tonight. You know, we hear a lot about the left and the right today, don't we? They are part of the left group or they are part of the right group. So where do you think they got those terminologies from? Come on, work with me here now. I hope I get you so mad at me tonight you'll leave. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No. I'm just throwing something. I want you to think about it. Where do you think they got the words from, the left and the right? We just read about it. Are you a goat or a sheep? Whoa. Whoa. That's getting a little close to home. The left and the right. Just a thought. I'm not going to preach on it. I'm just going to leave you hanging there. And you decide. What does that really mean? As you look at the different groups today that would try to get your attention, what my question always is, what do they believe in? What is their basis of belief? I'm not going to listen to you if you have some form of mentality that's ungodly. And we're going to look at that tonight as we look at who is Jesus. It's kind of interesting. When we think about who Jesus said he is, we just read about it. He said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory. He's talking about himself. But today there are a lot of people in the world today that will think there's something else. I've known of people that are unstable mentally, and they'll think they're Napoleon or the Pope or Elvis Presley. They can sing, look like him, think they're Elvis Presley. But the fact is they are not. But Jesus, when he said, when the Son of God comes in all his glory, he's talking about himself. And you can take it to the bank that he's telling us the truth. He is telling us the truth. No man can say, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he'll sit on the throne of his glory. There is not another human being on the face of the earth that can say that. Can't. And the question is whether you believe it or not. God gave us a free will. It says, choose you this day who you'll serve. It's your call. And yet the world today seems to be so hard to the things of God. Why? Wouldn't you want to live a better life? Wouldn't you want to be free from the cares of this world, anxieties? Having that peace inside that you know that you know. It's well with your soul. I'm going to continue on here, but we're going to go to Matthew 11, verses 1 to 2. We can just back up a little bit. Matthew 11. If you have your Bibles or if you're taking notes and you don't have a piece of paper, just borrow your neighbor's pen and write on his arm. We'll get it. It's after 11. Verses 1 to 2. I got Chris's attention, I can tell. Okay, chapter 11. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you coming one, or do we look for another? Okay. We're going to stop there for a moment. We want to talk about that for just a moment. John is the one. Remember Elizabeth? She was pregnant with John, and when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth said the child leaped within her womb. And so here John is. John is the one said, here comes the Son, the Lamb of God. When he saw Jesus coming and then he baptized Jesus, remember that? He said, here comes the Son, the Lamb of God. And now this same John, he is in prison and he is saying in verse 3 and said to him, are you the coming one or do we look for another? John is questioning, is this really you, Jesus? So do you know what? It's okay for us to, when you question, Jesus, is that really you? I'm living my life for you and the things I'm going through. Jesus, is that really you? You know why John was in jail. Here we go. Now this is where you're going to get really mad at me when I get done with this one. John was in jail because he went and he told Herod, you're living an ungodly life. You have married Philip, your brother's wife, Herodias. You are living an ungodly life. And what ended up with John? He's in prison. I can guarantee you today, if you start standing up for Jesus and calling sin, sin, and saying you're living an ungodly life, I'll tell you, they'll come after you like a hound dog. And we saw it happen on September the 11th. Charles Kirk stood up and called a nation about an ungodly lifestyle. You can read in there whatever you want. I'm not going to get political here, but I know one thing. He loved those university students, and he called it sin. You're living an ungodly lifestyle, and what did it cost him? It cost him his life. It's kind of interesting. I don't have anything biblical to back this up, and you can chuck it out if you want. John the Baptist, when finally Herodias' daughter danced a ungodly dance, seductive dance, and the reward was John the Baptist's head on a platter. What had John done wrong? He called sin, sin. John would have been about the age of 31, 32, because Jesus would have been about a year younger than him. It's kind of interesting. I know you ladies will agree with my next comment. Us men, they say we don't really mature and grow up till we're around 30, 33. And some of you are saying he still hasn't grown up. Don't be nudging your husband right now. Just leave him alone. God's still working on him. And I know you ladies are a lot smarter than us because you mature around 25. 22, sorry. So I'm out 3 years. So here we had John the Baptist was murdered at the early 30s. Jesus was crucified at the age of 33. He had only 3 years of ministry. Joseph became the ruler of all the land in his early 30s. And Charles Kirk was shot at the age of 31. I'm just saying. I'm not making some kind of theology here. I'm just saying. I wonder sometimes, it could happen, we pray it never does, that somebody walks in that back door and puts a gun to my head and says, "Will you renounce Christ?" It's a sobering thought. But I know one thing for sure today in the world that we're living in, if you stand up and preach that who Jesus is, and you start calling sin, sin, I'm telling you, the devil's going to put the crosshairs on you. Because he hates you. The devil wants you on a slab. He comes to seek and destroy and to kill, but Jesus came to give me life. And all I would say, I pray you're a good shot. Don't miss. Because I'm going home. I'm heaven bound. What is the name of that song that we listened to that... Come, Jesus, come. Is that the one? If you ever want to, just came into my sight by, who is that by? Okay. Come, Jesus, come. If you want to tap that one in when you get home, not right here, right now. Don't pull your phones out. Because Jamie told you to put them away, so leave them away. But you come, bring up the song, Come, Jesus, come. I'll tell you, that man that wrote that song used to be a meth addict. And when you hear that song, it'll break you. God took that meth addict and he wrote a song that the anointing is so strong on the thing. Come, Jesus, come. I believe the song is written about Revelation 21, verse 12, I think. Come, Jesus, come. Jamie's going to check that for me. I think it's Revelation 21. What's the name? But if you get time, it's worth a listen. That's the original writer. He wrote it. A meth addict. God got a hold of him, set him free. God set him free, and he wrote an anointing song that could only come from God. We're looking at John, though. We're going to continue on here. And said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" John was looking for reassurance. Are you really who you say you are? Here I am in prison. And I've served you. I have prepared the way for you. And this is where I find myself now. Tonight you could be sitting here and you say, "Lord, I have served you all the days of my life. I have done everything, but why am I in the situation I am? Why is my family in the situation they are?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. Verse 5, the blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Maybe your journey right now is a journey you're not enjoying one bit. But I know from my life that I can't see the whole picture. I can't even see what's going to happen the next 10 minutes. But my Jesus can. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am you be a baby also." He's in this journey with me. And he said he'll never give me more than I can handle. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Rely not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path straight. Trust him. You're in good hands. We are in good hands. And verse 6, "And blessed is he who was not offended because of me." Now you're saying, what does that mean? Really, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you offended because of Jesus? You know, Annette gave me her honey-do list, so I had to go over the Safeway and pick up a few things. I usually forget one or two items, but I do quite. If I get two-thirds, I'm good. But here is a young man with a t-shirt on. He's probably maybe 21, 22, and he's got, I hadn't seen that for a long time. Right across the front, "I love Jesus." I'm going, wow. I went up to him and I said, "You know what? I am so proud of you, and I know your Heavenly Father's proud of you." That takes courage, walking around with the crosshairs on your chest. Glory. For our young people, there is revivals happening right now around the world because of someone who lost his life. Jesus lost his life, and the gospel went all over the world. And that has happened with this young man that just got shot. There's a stirring in the spiritual realm of hate and love. Love and hate. Hate, love. But we serve a Heavenly Father of love. You don't see Christians rioting and burning cars and taking on police. That's not what Christians do. We'll put our arms around the sinner and tell them God loves them. That's what Christians do. Even though you're living in an ungodly lifestyle, a Christian will put his arms around you and say, I love you and God loves you. You'll never win him for Christ by accusing him. Love him. For God so loved the world that he gave everything, that we might have life. That's where it is. I want to move on now. I always like to use some Old Testament here. So we're going to go back to where Isaiah speaks about Jesus. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Now, Isaiah is speaking at this time, and it's about between 700 and 690 years B.C., before Christ. And God is having Isaiah prophesy, and Isaiah is looking way ahead in time, and he's talking about Jesus. We start on Isaiah 53, we're going to start verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Who's Isaiah writing about? Jesus. Yep. When Jesus went to that cross, they said, don't you have anything to say for yourself? Nope. Didn't try to defend himself. Didn't try to do a plea bargain. Nope. Didn't say a word. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who declared his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. For the sins of the people, Jesus died. You know, it's very easy to say, well, the Romans put him on that cross. The Jews put him on that cross. Do you know who put him on that cross? I did. Me. My sins put Jesus on that cross. I'm the one that's guilty. But yet he loved me so much. Even before I was born, he loved me. He loves us. In verse 9, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Jesus walked on this earth, and there isn't one thing he did wrong. It's an interesting thing. I've sat many times with Orthodox Jews. You have born-again believers, as Jews, and you have Orthodox Jews who are still waiting for Jesus to come the first time. The interesting thing is when you sit down with an Orthodox Jew and you read this scripture verse, Isaiah 53, their rabbis have never talked to them about those verses. They skip it because they'd have to admit that Jesus came once already. Is Jesus coming back and they're waiting for him? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Just as sure as I'm standing here, first time we're going to meet him in the clouds, he's not putting his foot down here. And the second time, when he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, it'll be split. I remember the morning we went to the Mount of Olives. It was kind of a rainy day, and we were up there, and we were just standing there, and we were praying as a group. There's about 34 of us. And the presence of God dropped on the Mount of Olives, and we just all stood and wept. Don't know why, but our Jesus had been on that Mount of Olives. There's something about that holy land that's our roots. We're grafted to the vine as Gentiles. And Jesus is a Jew. But God so loved the world. Everybody. Whatever your color, whatever your background, God loves you. I'm just going to change the tone here for a moment. I want to read this story to you. I think it's a good one. Bob loved going to garage sales. Anybody here loves garage sale? Oh, you bunch of addicts. You got to be set free, I'm telling you. On Saturday, his neighbors were selling off their excess stuff. So he walked over and started sifting through the junk. Stuff he would never use. Then something caught his eye. It was partially hidden under a tablecloth. But the shape was unmistakable. A motorcycle. A Harley Davidson. Don would be right in there, I know that. If it ain't a Harley, it ain't nothing. Harley Davidson. Is the bike for sale? No, not yours, Don. You're not in this story. Boy, guys want to take your story on you right away. Is the bike for sale, he asked his neighbor. The man shrugged. I don't see why not. But that bike hasn't run since I bought it. Bob nodded. How much do you want for it? Oh, give me $35. Goodbye, Don. For a Harley? That's not running? That's too much. They shook hands and Bob took it home. The Harley needed some work, so Bob called Harley Davidson to see if he could still get parts for this old bike. The dealer asked for the serial number, and Bob gave it to him. Bob was put on hold, and soon the parts man was back. Parts man sounded different this time, more engaged. Listen, Bob, could you take the seat off and see if there's anything underneath the seat? Okay. Bob wondered what this was all about, but he did as he was told and returned to the phone. Yes, he said, it does have something written there. It says, the King. There was silence. Bob, my boss has authorized me to offer you $300,000 for the bike. Bob was stunned. I'll have to think about that, he stammered as he hung up. His hands were shaking. The next day, Bob got a call from Jay Leno. Leno offered Bob $500,000 to see the bike that Bob had redeemed from the scrap pile. You see, the bike was owned by Elvis Presley, the King. After all these years of seeking the big find, Bob found it. And he didn't even recognize what he had. When you find Jesus, the King, do you recognize what you have? He is the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. This is all his. You can't put a price tag on it. The King. The Lord of Lords. Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his peace there shall be no end. Isaiah was speaking about the Son of God. And today, in our time, we have the King. We have him. And you know where he lives? Ask a child. In my heart. I'm going to conclude with one scripture verse here in a moment, but I want to share this with you. Today, again, Annette gave me her honeydew list to go to Costco. I think she thinks I need the exercise. That's why she sends me there. But I fool her. I use a cart and I lean on it. And I'm going down to the, I like the bakery section. I don't know why. I just like the smell of baking. And I'm down there, and I'm coming along, and I see this little cute blonde-haired five-year-old sitting in a cart. And beside her is a blonde mother, and she's looking in the meat department. And I take my cart and I drive up beside her cart. And that little blue-eyed blonde girl looked up at me and she said, "Papa, it's you! You want my old pacemaker to skip, I'll tell you." She recognized Papa. I'm still recovering from it. To be loved. My Heavenly Father loves me. He loves me. With all my shortcomings and all the mess-ups, He loves me. And you know what? His love is free. No charge. It's free. And the last verse that I wanted to conclude with tonight is John 1:12, and you should know this one off by heart. If you don't, I'm going to check with you next week. You better know it off by heart. John 1:12. It's on page 1220, so you may find it. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And his name is Jesus. That simple. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. We have been given that right to be called children of God. Children are a gift from God, and that we are to be called his children. What a blessing. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Lord, tonight I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray for each one here tonight, Lord, that there isn't one will leave this place in the same condition that they came. And Holy Spirit, I pray as you're moving across this room this very moment, touch every heart in this place. Touch every hurting heart. Touch every lonely heart. Heal and restore. And Lord, may we be known as a people for our love. For love for each other. For love for those that are hurting in this lost world. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Lord, tonight we thank you for the time of fellowship that we'll have following this service. And Lord, we thank you for those that have brought food and prepared, prayed, blessed. And Lord, for each one that's here tonight, Lord, bless them abundantly. May they leave this place blessed. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and thank you for coming tonight.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Praising my Savior.
Praising my Savior.